New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, and we were robbed. And I want to apologize to all of the Mr. and Mrs. and kiddos out there that did not get their 49ers coach approach last Thursday. I am 100% responsible, and it was kind enough. We had to skip it with the Thursday game, traveling, and all those things. So I apologize. So today, Ant, this episode is going to be twice as nice. It's going to be incredible. I'm very excited. How are we doing today, man?
We're doing great. Anytime you get to revel in a victory for a longer period of time, I'm going to take it. And so I know it's a big week with the Kansas City Chiefs, but coming off that Seattle win, it was so important. And it was just such a good feeling coming out of that game that really I let nothing shake me on it. And really, the film has kind of backed up that the 49ers played a pretty good football game. And I think that's encouraging moving forward. So, yeah, it's been a great week, and I'm looking forward to 49ers versus Chiefs, but I'm always looking forward to Thursday. We know chat's going to be popping, and we're going to have a great episode, so I'm ready for it. Bring on the big questions. Let's get into it.
I love it, and shout out to my man RTP. Everybody, hashtag CCs, the hashtag TCCs. I'm excited about that. And so here's kind of the design of this show Thursdays. Relatively new. We started this year, even though Ant and I go way back. First half going to be kind of around what we saw on tape, the all 22 that perhaps we might have missed during the game against the Seahawks. And the second half of the show, what do we want to see coaching changes, right? So this coach approach, how would we address those things? Obviously, they're smarter than we are. Well, they're smarter than I am. They're not smarter than Ant. And we're going to kind of see what that looks like, and we'll go from there. And you guys, it's your job in the chat to get us off topic. Get us on some crazy stuff. And let's just kind of see where it goes. That's what it is. Ooh, we're even getting some hashtag BBs in here from boats. That's breezy, but we'll take it, man. One community, all community. I freaking love it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's do this. So here we go. First question from Joe, or comment. He says, next two teams I would really like to beat, obviously. Kansas City hate goes back to the Super Bowls. My Dallas hate goes back to 1971. My Dallas hate went back to 1989. That's where mine went back to. I want to ask you, where do the Dallas Cowboys fit on your spectrum of hate?
They're one of the ones I hate the most. The 90s, you know, 1992, 93, 95, like that era, the amount of Cowboy fans that are in Northern California, it creates some real friction. One of my best friends is a Cowboys fan, so those times were not good for 49ers fans, and I absolutely despise them. I could not stand Nate Newton. I couldn't stand Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman. I don't like them. Jay Novacek still, if I hear that name, I get frustrated. I'm not a huge fan of the Cowboys. That's a must-win every single year, and that's a true rivalry. And those people that talk about the 70s, like, that's a real thing. In the 70s, the Cowboys were a thorn in the 49ers' side, and they were a thorn again in the 90s. And so anytime the 49ers beat the Cowboys, it's just a good day. And everyone likes to talk trash on the Cowboys. I get Eagles. One of my friends, the Eagles fan, he messes me all the time, Cowboys hate. And I just love it. Let's just keep that going, because nobody likes the Cowboys.
I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them, and I still hate them. RTP says, the catch era for me, my man. And look at this. Speaking of hate, we're just doing like a Dave Chappelle haters ball. Hate, 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 hate. I hate you, and I hate everybody you know. anyway, shout out to my man, Jack. Appreciate the super chat. He is the best. He says, there are 171,476 words in the English language. None of them adequately describe how much I hate the Kansas City Chiefs. For those, like, that's a local game for my man Jack, if I'm not mistaken. And Jack might have taken that Super Bowl loss harder than the rest of us, but I love this man. I appreciate you, Jack. I hate the Chiefs. I do hate the Cowboys more, but the recency of the domination, we haven't beat the Chiefs since 2014. It's been a minute. It has been a minute. And so, we got to go get this dub, man. And what's crazy is the 49ers are not only favored, but like it's the spread is growing. Like the money is going in on the 49ers side. You could say that was the same thing in the Super Bowl. I don't know. Is that crazy that the 49ers are favored? As somebody that watches all the tape all the time, why do you think the 49ers are favored in this game despite having so many losses against the Chiefs recently?
I think it's everyone's waiting for that moment, you know, for that shoe to drop, because the 49ers have been such a good football team over the last several years. And in fact, you could argue that they've actually been on paper a better football team than the Chiefs. This gives me feelings of early 2000s NBA, Sacramento Kings versus Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers have the stars, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant. Kings probably have the better roster, yet the Lakers always get it done. And so it's not really a rivalry because one side always wins, and that's how this feels exactly. But I think that everyone sees the 49ers have such a good team. They keep waiting for that moment they're going to win. And you just look at the all pros, the talent on offense and defense, and then they've got the superstar coach in Kyle Shanahan, and you're just like, at some point, this has got to happen. And I think that's why they're favoring the 49ers, because when the 49ers don't make mistakes, they win. Debo and George Kittle talked about this on Debo's podcast, is – when they don't turn over the football, they are going to win. And they turn over the football, unfortunately, to the Chiefs their last couple of meetings. And that's been a big reason why they haven't been able to get off the side and get the big win.
Yep. I like it. I like it. So we're going to talk some more Chiefs for sure. But let's look backwards. Let's go back to the 49ers Seahawks 12-point win. It's weird. It didn't feel like a 12-point game. It did in the first half. Then the second half, 49ers, you know, we know what they do. But then they were able to close it out at the end there. What are a couple things, Ant, that you took away from the tape that perhaps you might have missed live, whether it was a player, a scheme, play calling, anything along those lines that kind of stood out to you?
Well, I think from the first view of the game, I thought that Aaron Banks was playing really bad. Now, I take into account he was going against Leonard Williams, and Leonard Williams is an absolute freak. Anyone that broke down that film saw him do things to Aaron Banks and Trent Williams that people don't do to Trent Williams, and he's just that good. But I noticed how much better Aaron Banks was in the run game compared to what we got from Spencer Burford. And Burford's athleticism is really good, but when it came to dealing with Leonard Williams' strength, it just wasn't there. So the need for Aaron Banks in certain matchups was definitely on display. And I think this week going against Chris Jones, that interior part of the offensive line is going to be important. But I really liked Aaron Banks battling and competing in the run game. And I thought at first watch, I didn't see that. But watching it back on film, I had more respect. It's like, you know what? You're going to lose when you go against Leonard Williams sometimes. You've got to take that, the good with the bad. But I thought overall he competed and held his own the best that he possibly could. And so I want to give him a little bit of respect, because you see him lose and you automatically want to criticize, but he was out there competing and battling, and I thought he hung in there pretty good.
Yeah, it was weird because this whole Banks season has been like two good series, two bad series, two good. Like, it's just like, man, what Banks are we getting this drive? Because he's either good or bad, and it's not a lot of in between. Now, the guy next to him to his right, that first half tape, and you're the line guy. I thought it was Jake Brindle's best tape of the year, the first half. Second half kind of went back to a little bit. But I thought the first half he was on fire. Am I crazy?
No, I mean, Jake Brindle, you know what's crazy is his second-level blocks have been really good all year. He's been doing his part when it comes to second-level blocks. It's some of the other plays. And, you know, I feel bad for Jake Brindle because there was a couple of blocks in this game because of alignment of the Seattle Seahawks defense. There's no way he can get there. There was one play that the guy was outside shade of Dominic Pooney, and there's just no way he can get there. The only guy on that offensive line that could get there is probably Trent Williams. Other than that, no one can make that kind of a reach block. So I think at some points he makes mistakes, but there has been a lot of good tape from Jake Brindle this year, and I thought Seattle Seahawks, he did a pretty good job overall. Is it perfect? No. Is he going to have Brindle moments? Absolutely. You're going to have bad holds. He's going to make the wrong call a couple of times. But for the most part, you're getting a little bit more consistent play over the last couple of weeks from Brindle. And I think the 49ers hopefully can build on that, because that has been the weak point of the offensive line. The offensive line's played a lot better this year than it did last year, in my opinion. But I think that's been the weak point. And if he can improve at least his consistency with playing each game, play in and play out, I think the 49ers have a good enough offensive line to win a lot of games and score a lot of points.
Yeah. I think that's the key, right? Score more points than the opposing team. That's some incredible analysis there, John Chapman. But like, if the problem with the Chiefs, and I know we're going to keep looking ahead, even though I don't want to, they haven't scored over 30 points in 15 games, their offense. They haven't. Their defense hasn't allowed a team to score 30 points on them in 30 games. I understand Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. I know he hasn't played that way, and the stats are what they are. But, man, the 49ers offense at some point has to show up against the Chiefs, and it just hasn't happened in all the matchups. That has to change. The amount of money you spend on offense, the Kyle Shanahan, all the different things, it's time. Like, finally go make the statement. Finally go put the NFL on notice. We could score on anybody. Brock Purdy is who he is. Brock Purdy played well in the Super Bowl. Dude came off the field three times in the fourth quarter overtime with the lead. Defense, you know, whatever, but go score some damn points. Go score some points. Go score some points. Now, sticking with the offense before we jump to the defensive side, I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to talk through whatever else. Are there any other offensive takeaways from the tape against Seattle that you were like, all right, this is good, this is bad?
You know, I think that the 49ers getting back to kind of playing their style of football, it felt more bully ball-esque. They're willing to kind of stick with the run, even if it wasn't going to net them the big explosives. We saw them handle the edge so much better in this game. They were able to get the toss plays going. Jordan Mason especially was doing really well reading his blocks, but you were getting great blocks out on the edge. And I thought that was nice, because the 49ers have had some moments where they've struggled with some of the edge defenders, especially if you go back and you look at that Rams game. The Rams did a good job of kind of throwing off their game plan and kind of stymieing that a little bit. So I thought it was nice to see them get back to form. I'm hoping that continues, that kind of getting that identity of let's run the football, let's get play action pass going, and let's take advantage of getting Brock Purdy some good looks. And I think that if they can continue that, and Jordan Mason is going to be a big reason why, they're going to be just fine, because then they can find some matchups against the Chiefs. I know here we are getting ahead of ourselves again, but that's part of the reason you need to establish that run game, is because you can find advantages against the Chiefs once you establish it. And I think we saw in the film one thing that was real clear for the offense. Once they got Dodson and those linebackers to engage on coming up to stop the run, it finally created those openings over the middle of the field. And Kyle Shanahan's doing what he normally does. He was using motions to go ahead and shift defenders horizontally to create those windows. And Brock Purdy was willing to whip it in there when he had the opportunity. So I thought it looked good. It looked 49ers football-esque. And I like that. Brock's still holding the football a little bit longer because he's looking for those plays down the field. 3.2 seconds on average that offensive line is having to hold blocks. Not too bad. So I'm hoping that they can continue to have some real good plays with that outside run game and then play action off of that.
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas? You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he's struggled, 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition, now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean, now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So my question to you is, you know, Brock Purdy got the ball out 3.2 seconds like you talked about. That was the, I think, the second or third fastest he's had all year, but it was the fastest the last four games. Do you think that they'll continue to speed up the release time, or do you think that they're kind of happy? 3.2 is a long-ass time across the NFL. It's fast for Purdy this year. What do you think that sweet spot is? I think it's been as bad as 3.7 seconds, 3.6 seconds. This season, where do you want, like, if you were saying, like, if you're the coach and you're back there, stop watching and practice, what's your kind of golden sweet, like the sweet spot for getting the ball out?
I think you want it closer to 2.8 seconds. I think you want 2.8 to 3.0, kind of around there. They're not far off from this game in Seattle. He was getting through his progressions a lot quicker. I mean, that throw he made to George Kittle on the, you know, in the end zone, he went through his progression. It was Debo, then it was Juwan Jennings, then it was George Kittle in the side on the pylon, and he went through it rather quickly. So I think that the way defenses are playing him, he's had to hold on to the football a little bit more as they've had to take some of those more deeper approaches. So hopefully now it'll start evening out as they've proven they'll take those deep shots, and they've got to continue to do that because getting the ball out of Brock Purdy's hands is still good because even though it was 3.2 seconds, he faced pressure on 50% of those snaps. Didn't have a single sack, but that's part of the reason why is because they have to hold on the football a little bit longer.
Exactly. Well said. Ed, I like this. We got a couple comments that I want to dive into a little bit on here. Some offensive X's and O's talk. Ed says, Shanahan needs to show some plays. He's never done yet. He's getting predictable. And then the 49ers says, use the same plays. Team already know what is coming. Now, the one thing I will say about Shanahan and what makes Shanahan, this isn't even my own take. This is the Richard Sherman take on why he joined the 49ers back in 2019, I believe it was. The idea is this. Shanahan, and this is his dad, this is Kubiak, this is, you have a set of plays. You add wrinkles to the variation of those plays so that they always look the same. That is by design in the Shanahan scheme. You want to give the same look so that the defense can say, okay, this is where they run outside zone or outside toss. So we want to over pursue and make sure we take the outside runaway. And the first second of the play and formation looks the same, but it's a design cutback. You just didn't know it. If you want to, you know, look, they always run double deep in breakers. Well, the one time they did it, instead of double deep in breakers against man coverage or a cover three look, instead, it's like a comeback outbreaker by Ayuk, and he draws pass interference because the cornerback realized, oh, crap, I'm in trouble. So I understand the formations, and when we're watching the broadcast view, it's like, oh, here's the play. Shanahan does that by scheme. It's to lull you asleep and add wrinkles. Instead of the outbreaker route, we're running a corner. Instead of this, we're doing this. It's those little bitty tinkerings that cause so many problems for the defense. Am I missing something there? Is there anything you can add to that? Like, it's by design, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you run things very similarly like that to get defenses used to what you're doing. And then all of a sudden you break it off. All of a sudden you normally would run a, you know, an in pattern at 12 yards. And the next thing you know, you run it at 15 and you get that corner to go ahead and flip his hips and turn to run because he thinks it's a vertical and you're going to go ahead and hit that route for a big play. So I think that that's something that we see from Kyle Shanahan, that he makes little subtle adjustments to tendency and subtle adjustments to his concepts that end up creating big time plays. And you as a defense have to be disciplined to where, oh yeah, I see pre-snap, we're probably going to run this concept, but post-snap, it looks completely different. And I think that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan does. And it's also, how many times can I run the same thing from a bunch of different formations and a bunch of different motion and personnel groupings to kind of get you used to something or to get you in a matchup that you don't like? It might look like the same concept, but now I've got Debo matched up on Bolton, the linebacker, and now it's advantage 49ers. And that's kind of what Kyle does with the system.
Yeah. Now I am with you that you need some trick plays. I am clamoring for the, you know, we keep bringing Kyle Juszczyk out there as the third down back. I want a handoff to Kyle Juszczyk crossing the face, right? So we're in the shotgun formation. Kyle Juszczyk to the left of Brock Purdy. You hand it off. You max protect slide kind of zone right look. Brock Purdy sneaks out to the left wheel route. I'm telling you, I've seen him practice it in practice. This would be a perfect week for that. Yeah, plus it's fun. Anytime you do some of those plays, you get out here. Yeah, 49ers. Ben Johnson, that dude is like the most crazy trick play guy ever. I loved what he was doing against the Cowboys. It was just embarrassing. The 49ers, it seems like you really dislike Shanahan. That's cool. That's welcome. I will argue, and I think the rest of the NFL will argue, Shanahan is guaranteed a top 3 to 4 play caller wherever you put him there. Andy Reid's number one. I don't have a problem with that. Yet you look at the offensive statistics for the Chiefs, they're not that good. They're 15th in points scored. So, like, and that's with the best quarterback on the planet. And I know he hasn't played that well this year, 6 interceptions, not great. But I think if all 32 teams could pick any player, every single team would pick Patrick Mahomes. Maybe one or two might take Josh Allen. I don't know. You think all 32 teams would pick? I used to do this in the old Madden where you could wipe the rosters and do the fantasy draft. And so, like, you'd build your team. I'd always be the 49ers. And then you'd pick your players. Like, 32 teams would pick Patrick Mahomes first, right?
I would sure think so. I mean, this is a 3-time Super Bowl winner who can make every single throw on the field. The intangibles, the athleticism, the arm, I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, he's proven it, you know, with different rosters and everything like that. I think Patrick Mahomes will be number one. I know I would take him number one, so I would expect most people would.
Yeah. Now, let's switch to the defensive side. I really thought this game against Seattle was one of my favorite for Nick Sorensen. Like, it's just like slowly ticking up my confidence level in Sorensen. And there's one play in particular I'm going to do my best to kind of explain this. It was in the first half, and it was second down. I think it was second down. We do a zone fire blitz, okay? So we bring Demo on the nickel pressure. We drop Robert Beal, the backside defensive end, into the hook-to-curl zone, and we run a Tampa 2 coverage. So one, you're only bringing 4, but you're dropping. And then the kind of my favorite thing about it was anytime we do that Tampa 2 coverage, Fred Warner's that middle backer that gets depth, Brian Urlacher style, or you can even go back Derek Brooks style, way back with the Tampa 2 when it was started. But instead, he chases, he's the flat defender, and Devondre Campbell rotates over into the inverted V, that deep coverage. We've never shown that. They got confused. Geno didn't know what to do. He tucks the ball and runs. They get a holding call, backed up. I mean, I was just like, what the hell is Sorensen doing? Like, I've never seen any of this. I was just like, I was so excited. So, like, I want to say, like, we're talking creativity, not being predictable. I think that's one of the red flags with Nick Sorensen. And we didn't see a lot of wrinkles, but that was one wrinkle where I was like, where the hell did that come from? Like, can we do some more of this? I don't know. I'm still kind of flabbergasted that he's capable of such things. And I hope we get a little bit more disguising and stuff because you still brought 4-man pressure. We're still in zone coverage. That's a double check for me. And it was unpredictable. Geno had no clue what was going on. Was there anything defensively, player or scheme wise, that stood out to you?
I thought that they did a really good job of bringing the run blitz again. It was consistent. It started on play one. He brings Devondre Campbell on a run blitz, and I thought that's taking a lot of pressure off the defensive line to be able to hold up as far as against those duo blocks. I mean, right off the bat, Seattle was duoing, and they were going to take Kevin Givens, and they pushed him back 3 or 4 yards on the first play. But here comes Campbell coming through, and now it messes up the run. And so you get the running back having to jump cut to the left side, and then all of a sudden Malik Collins is able to get off and make a tackle. It's good defensive line play from Malik Collins, but it's a great call from Nick Sorensen. Is he always right? No, but I think we've seen an improvement over the last 2 weeks, especially with run blitzes, whether that's a guy coming off the edge, Malik Mustafa, or even Diamandre Lenore, or when they're doing things with some of those inside linebackers as well, getting them going upfield, D. Winters blitzing, Devondre Campbell, Fred Warner. I like it overall. I think that does a good job of helping the defensive line and making it a little bit easier for them, because if you just allow them to get duoed, they're going to get pushed back, especially guys like Kevin Givens. He's not built for that. He's built more as an aggressive guy. You want to run a zone play against Kevin Givens, he's probably going to blow it up and get vertical and mess up your play, but the other plays aren't so good for him. So I love that from Sorensen. And you're right, the uniqueness to some of the things that he's doing, I feel like he's starting to get a really good feeling on what his players do well, and now he's putting them in some good situations to be successful and confusing the Geno Smith as well. Geno had to come off read one pretty much the entire game. Mm-hmm. They did a good job of taking it away, which means they understood scheme, they understood what Seattle was trying to accomplish, and they took that away. It's not going to be that easy every single week. A guy like Patrick Mahomes, he just does whatever, but I thought they did a great job against Geno, and they made him feel uncomfortable. And I think it started, though, with stopping the run with the run blitz and being able to stay two-eye safety, even having light boxes against obvious run situations.
Man, it's interesting because, you know, we're still doing a lot of man concepts, which I dislike, and I hope we don't do next week, but that's okay. They are mixing up the zone coverages, which is hard whenever you got safeties rotating in and out. I don't think we've had two quarters this year with the same safety tandem. I mean, it's just, and yeah, miscommunications are still taking place. That's problematic, but you got to get over it. That's not going to change. It looks like Malik Mustafa is going to be playing this week. He had a limited in practice. Jair Brown really hasn't missed a chance. And I think Jair Brown's coming off his best game of the year. Still wasn't perfect. Still had a blown coverage call. Still had a missed tackle. But the consistency is getting there, and the hesitation in the tape seems to be disappearing. He is acting quick. And whenever you're lined up against number 6 and Malik Mustafa is your counterpoint, who has no hesitation whatsoever to his game, it's like, you got to figure this out. And so I don't know. Part of me thinks the safety play can increase. It can't go down. But now you got Mahomes, who that dude will abuse his safety because you got to stop the run. Then you got to get to your pass read. Oh, crap, Mahomes is running. Oh, no, he's not. Scramble drill. Like, it's just, we'll see here. So the safeties are going to play a big part this week. But I did think Jair Brown played well. I thought Leonard Floyd has put up back-to-back quality games, quality snaps, where he's not a hindrance to the run game or the pass game. Like, he was making plays. The obvious, you know, Nick Bosa, 14 pressures, that he bailed out George Odom. George Odom gets burned on a double move from DK, but Geno Smith can't lay into the ball the way that he should because Nick Bosa's hitting him. So he kind of backs up as he throws it, ball floats. George Odom gets the pass deflection. So you're starting to get this kind of, instead of one side hurting the other side, you're marrying the concepts together where, like, look, we got beat by a double move. That takes 3+ seconds to get the ball out. If you get some pressure, now the quarterback can't air it out, and they're complementing each other, complementary football. Good things happen. It's starting to kind of be a little more cohesive. So I'm hoping that that continues. Now, the last thing, let's get the last point. If you have anything left on the defensive side before we flip to looking completely towards the Kansas City Chiefs, Ant.
Yeah, I think one thing you brought up, Jair Brown, that I've been a little worried about, and I thought it kind of reared its ugly head again in this football game, was he doesn't always align right. And we had a situation where he's yelling at Diamandre Lenore to go back to the 3-receiver side, and Lenore's like, nuh-uh, you're supposed to be on the third man on the inside on that side of the field. Get over there. And he almost didn't get there in time. So there's still some confusion on some of the alignments, but it's like, I love that Diamandre Lenore and some of these other guys are like, you know what, Jair, no, get over there. Like, take charge. I think they've been missing that. They don't have Hufanga. They don't have that veteran like Deshaun Gibson on the back end. And I think that that's been a little bit of the problem with the defense. But you're right, Jair Brown, overall, he plays well. He tackles well. I think that's a good part of his football game because they need him to tackle well. And he's going to have a tough one this week. They have to figure out how they're going to handle Travis Kelce. And a lot of that usually fell on a guy like Deshaun Gibson or Trey Greenlaw. Neither one of them are playing in this game. It's going to come on to Jair Brown and others. And so I think he needs to continue. If they can get really good play from that safety position moving forward, this defense is going to take another step in the right direction. The consistency with the coverage down the field, you brought up George Odom. He got beat twice deep. And I think that that's one of them got called back because of a penalty. That has been a problem. And now you're going to go against Xavier Worthy, one of the fastest dude in the league. Like that makes got to make anyone nervous. So I think the safety, the back end's got to get a little bit better. You expect the missteps from a guy like Malik Mustafa, but I'm expecting Jair Brown to kind of come into his own here pretty soon. They need him to.
Yeah. I mean, any positive steps there for number 27 is just huge because so many times I feel like the 49ers defense is you have these three studs and Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Diamador Lenore. And then it's just like, man, can anybody else step up? I feel like Malik Collins is probably closest to that level to be in there. Isaac Yiadom playing well, but it's just like, man, you've had bad from both those guys as well. So if we could get, we need one or two more guys on this defense to get into that tier. Sam O's a possibility. Yiadom's a possibility. Jair's a possibility. Like Leonard Floyd's a possibility. If you can get those guys into there, that's where things start happening. Now, let's transition. Let's go to what we are looking for forward for the Chiefs. And I want people to throw this in the chat too. What are the things that you want to see the 49ers do differently or change or adjust to how you want to play against the Chiefs, play call, players, whatever, rotations. But before we do, I want to say this. I put up a bet for tonight. Tonight we got Broncos at the Saints. Saints are probably the most injured team in the NFL right now. I did a two-team teaser. I'm taking the Broncos plus four and a half points and the 49ers plus six. Now, if you want to bet with us, here's where you do it. You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS49ers or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for six straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean and cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
All right, Ant, we've got questions galore, and probably the most common thing that I keep seeing is this Dominique Pooney versus Chris Jones. Okay. Kevin, shout out to Kevin, BNT Gaming Channel. I just want to see Pooney handle Chris Jones because he has wrecked two Super Bowls for us. He's the guy who always makes the play against us in the clutch Super Bowls. And you're not the only one because I'm seeing a lot. Vince right here. Do you think Pooney will be lined up against Jones a lot in this game? Right here, Brett, how do you think Pooney will hold up against Jones? Everybody, Pooney is the key to this game. Dominique Pooney is incredible. However, and this is the problem. I remember when in the NFC Championship game when Brock got hurt and somebody was like, man, how can you put a number two tight end against Hassan Reddick? And I'm sitting there as a defensive coordinator screaming, it's not up to the offense. You don't get to pick who blocks the defenders. The defense picks who blocks whom. That's just what it is. Now, you can pick how many, but you don't get to pick who. Because Chris Jones lines up everywhere. He has six different defensive alignments. He lines up wide nine right. He lines up in a five. He lines up in a three. He lines up in a shade. That's just on the right side. He does the same thing on the left side. So will Dominique Pooney get reps against Chris Jones? Yes. I doubt it's more than 12 snaps. Because if I'm the Chiefs, and this is what Spags does, he finds a weakness, and I'm going to put my best guy on him. Whenever I coached, that was my favorite thing. I would tell my D-line coach, look, find the worst offensive lineman they have. And we would find this in tape. We'd do this in scouting. We're putting our stud over him. I don't care if he's an end. I don't care if he's a defensive tackle. No, I don't care. Best against worst so we can wreak havoc. So you mean to tell me you think Spags is going to put 95 over Trent or over Dominique Pooney? I don't think so. Like, that's not happening. So, like, Ant, self-scout here. Where are you putting Chris Jones?
I think there's two places. I think number one, over Jake Brendel. If you have any looks where you're going to have a nose tackle, that would make a lot of sense. His mixture of power and speed, he's a problem for Brendel. The only problem is if you put him inside like that, automatically you can either have Banks or Dominique Pooney help, and you get the double team look. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. Where it gets really difficult is if he goes out on Colton McKivitz. And that's where we've seen a problem, especially on third downs. Chris Jones goes out there, and then it's a little bit tougher to get those looks that you want against him. So I think they're going to move them all around, and it's real simple. If you have a defensive lineman, you can move all over the place. It's harder to game plan for where he's going to be. If they're in one position as an offensive play caller, I know he's there. I can account for him. We can find ways to double him. We can find ways to give extra help and play around him. But when you don't know where he's going to be from snap to snap and look to look, it makes it a lot more difficult. You might plan on running an outside zone play to the right, and all of a sudden he's setting the edge against Colton McKivitz and blows up the play. So you've got to be prepared for everywhere he is. My expectation is they're going to give him the Aaron Donald treatment. They're going to find wherever he's going to be at, and they're going to send as many guys as they need to make sure they block him, and they're going to put the onus on everyone else to beat them. And the problem with that is you've got a defensive scheme that they blitz a ton more than what the Rams ever did. And so you're talking the number one blitz defense in the league. At least that's what they'll end up being. You've got to account for that. So I think that's going to be one of the tough things is locating Jones, sending enough people there, and then also prepared to pick up the blitz, which makes it very difficult. This is not an easy matchup for the offensive line.
It's not. It's difficult in like a couple things. So Ed says, you know, Kittle said on Tebow's podcast, Chris Jones gets the Aaron Donald treatment. Shout out to Slick68. Appreciate the super chat. 49ers got to give Chris Jones the Aaron Donald treatment. Always double him. Let's go. Now, they both play defensive tackle. But, you know, again, I was at the draft. I don't know if I told this story to you. About the draft, this was in Chicago. And I go to the bathroom. I'm drinking too much beer. It's in the second round. It was awesome. And I'm on my phone tweeting something stupid. And I run into a brick wall. It's not a brick wall, but it knocked me backwards. I ran into Chris Jones and his family. Like, I literally bumped into Chris Jones. And I was like, oh, it's Chris Jones. He had his hat on. He just got drafted. He was going back with his family to the green room. Dude's gigantic. Aaron Donald, 6'1", 280. Chris Jones, 6'6", 315. They're not, like, I understand they play defensive tackle. And I'm not saying Chris Jones is better. I'm saying he's completely different. That's all. And when you pair Chris Jones with Spagnuolo, that's where you can't plan. Like you talked about those blitzes, they can dictate where our coverage scheme goes. This is probably, I always say, this is one of my biggest critiques of Jake Brendel. I don't think that he's great at calling the blitz number slide protection. And the 49ers always have, if the back's to the right, we're calling to the left with the line. We're doing a blue call, block left, whatever, lucky call, whatever you want to say. And so if you put, you know, 3 to 4 blitzers on each side, we're calling it opposite of the back. Pretty simple. You can drop back and overload the back side. That's where we get in trouble. I get that you want to take him away. I understand all those things. It's pretty hard. And here's Kyle Shanahan talking about why it's so different between those two players.
It's just different variables they do with their stuff. And, you know, it's sometimes a little bit harder to eliminate him, where he goes and just some of the pressures they do. But he definitely deserves that attention. He's as good as player there is. And we try our hardest to take him out, but he makes that pretty hard.
Makes it difficult. Makes it really, really difficult. So, all right, let's go back to you. What is another coach change, coach approach that you want to see in this week against the Chiefs?
Well, I think when it comes to 49ers offense, it's got to be sticking with the run game. And I know it's going to be really tough. And, you know, Kyle, he likes to kind of go away from the run game if it's not being as successful. But the Chiefs defense is really good against the run. Very good. They allow 3.1 yards per carry. That's great. And I think that you just got to kind of stick with it. You're going to have to take those 3-yard carries, and you're just going to have to stick with it a little bit more, because you can't allow them to start playing pass and then teeing off on you. You've got to make sure those linebackers stay engaged and wanting to stop the run, so that way you can have some advantages when it comes to the passing game. If you can get Bolton and those guys being aggressive and coming forward to stop Jordan Mason in this running game, hopefully it's Jordan Mason, then you're going to have some opportunities behind them. This linebacker group is not the best when it comes to stopping the pass. In fact, that's a real weakness. One of the reasons, if we had Christian McCaffrey, I would be saying a huge advantage 49ers. 49ers have a chance to go crazy on this Chiefs defense because of the advantage against the linebackers. But they're struggling against tight ends too, which means George Kittle, a big part of this game plan this week between the linebackers and safeties. I think you run the run game. You make sure you stick to it. It's got to be at least 30 carries in this game. And then you try to get George Kittle some matchups that you like. I think if you do that, that is the approach I would take to try to keep Spagnuolo from being as aggressive and keep those linebackers engaged in stopping the run.
I like it. Agency, he put this comment in the chat earlier, and I think it goes 100% with what you're saying, Ant. Agency says, what is Kyle going to do in the third and fourth quarter differently to not allow the momentum swing that has destroyed the Niners' chance to win these games versus the Chiefs? But I would say it's the same thing versus the Cardinals, and I say it's the same thing versus the Rams this year. You go back to the Super Bowl, you quit running the ball in the third quarter. You just quit. You just quit. You can talk about the Seahawks game. You come out in the second half, you call 3 straight pass plays, you go 3 and out. You got to stick with the run, or at least have the illusion or threat of the run. Play action plays are not running plays, but that gives you an advantage. And so even on, like, sometimes we're going to go out there and call a first down pass, incomplete pass, whatever. Then you're going to call a second down pass and might not get it. Well, third down, you're going to pass. That's okay, but I hate when Shanahan does these empty sets with no play actions on an entire drive. And I know sometimes Brock's feeling it and they see that we can take advantage of this. Don't do that. So my answer to you, Agency, is what Ant said. Stick with the run game. Stick with it, even if it's not working. You have to stay with it. You cannot allow them to let you get out of what you're best at. You know, Jordan Mason health, that's going to be huge. But I don't care if Jordan Mason's not playing. I don't care if it's Isaac G, Patrick Taylor, Kyle Juszczyk. Run the damn ball. Deebo Samuel, run the ball. Or at least play action. It helps open up windows, all of those things. I want to flip this to the defensive side. I want way less man coverage. I've been saying it forever, but I think that the number one deciding factor this game, you look at here, and I'll pull this up. I think I have a picture of it. Yeah, you look at the passing chart for Patrick Mahomes. I know I'm covering up our faces here, Ant. I'm blocking the moneymaker. Ant's too pretty to be behind it. There he is. Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw the ball deep at all. He can, and he will, once or twice a game, but the majority of his passes are all behind the line of scrimmage. Dink and dunk offense is exactly what they're doing. That's Andy Reid's staple. Tackling is everything. The 49ers are the 26th team in the NFL when it comes to tackling. Not good. A lot of missed tackles. A lot of that's the safeties. A lot of that's even Nick Bosa, who's been great, just not finishing plays. One way that helps your defense tackle is whenever they're looking at where they're going. If you play man coverage, you are paying attention to the route. You turn your back a lot of times to the line of scrimmage. You play more zone, everybody's looking ahead. Everybody's looking forward. You get a rally to those screens, those dink and dunks and all those things. Way less man, way more zone. It's who we are. It's how we draft our players, how we scout our players. Way less man. Come on, Nick Sorensen. I believe in you. Less man. You can run some man. Just stop doing it on third and four all the time. I feel like anytime it's third and four, third and three, like Nick Sorensen just like hits a button, man coverage, like every time. And I'm just like, don't do that. Anyway, so I'll turn it back over to you, Ant, for the last one. Then we'll get to a bunch of questions.
Yeah, one thing that I want to see is Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd win against these offensive tackles. The Chiefs have not been consistent at left tackle. They got Wanya Morris in there right now, and they thought it was going to be the young guy, Kingsley Suamaitia, but that didn't work out. And Wanya Morris is not as good as tackles they've had in the past. This is advantage 49ers in every sense of the imagination. They need to make sure they win. And then Jawan Taylor is a holding call every single time. He's just not that good. Now, he has been better this season than he has been in past seasons, but right now, I think they've got to be able to win on the edge. And the Chiefs don't normally like to chip. They don't normally like to give help. They like getting their guys out in the routes and letting Patrick Mahomes, like you said, get rid of the ball quickly and spread you out horizontally. That's what they're trying to do. By spreading you horizontally, that creates some of the windows for Travis Kelce to be able to get open over the middle of the field. So the 49ers need to make sure they can win. If they can win with Bosa and Floyd and that pass rush, I think they're going to have an opportunity to kind of make the Chiefs change their game plan, either by getting some help with the running backs coming out and chipping, or at least getting tight ends to help with that as well. And that could kind of slow some things up for the Chiefs. So it's going to be interesting, but Bosa and Floyd need to have a big game.
Yeah. Their tackles are the weak point of their entire roster. That's why they invested so much in that second round pick for Kingsley. He got benched after the second game. He was really, really bad. Wanya Morris, he's the 58th ranked tackle. Jawan Taylor, the 59th. Ranked tackle with a whole bunch of penalties, leads the NFL in penalties. You got to win at that spot. That's just where it is. Leonard Floyd got a vet day, which I think is huge. Let him be rested up, ready to go. Nick Bosa is playing at the top of his game. I really think it was one of Nick Bosa's best games. The missed tackles kind of hurt, but gosh, Nick Bosa is affecting the game so positively in the run and the pass game. That's going to be huge. You just can't let him abuse you up the middle. Creed Humphrey is the best center in the NFL, in my opinion. They don't have a running back. Kareem Hunt, really? I mean, he's good, but like, you held two of the best running backs, I think, one of the best running back tandems in the NFL last week, at Kenneth Walker the third and Zach Charbonnet. You held those dudes to like 2.5 yards per carry. You do that again this week? Gosh, protect the ball? Good things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. Right here, agency, we kind of talked about this a little bit. He says, will Shanahan show something new? I'm 3,000 miles away in Florida. About 75% of the time, I know what's coming. Can Kyle outcoach Spags and Reed? You got to pick one. Him against both is too much. Can Kyle outcoach Spags, I think, is the question. What do you think, Ant?
I think he can. You know, I mean, I think Spagnuolo is a good coach, but Spagnuolo also does what Spagnuolo does. I mean, there are tendencies to what he does, too. He's not like a Brian Flores that'll pull something out of the wazoo that you've never seen before. With Spagnuolo, it's just very detailed, and it comes at the right time. He's just very smart about when he does his things. So for the 49ers, there's a definite way to attack Spagnuolo, and that's to establish a run game. If you establish the run game, that puts them on their heels a little bit. And then after that, you just got to make sure you convert on third and short. If you have third and shorts, it's a lot easier for you to convert, because the Chiefs, third and six, they're coming after you. They're bringing it. They're making you get to your hot route, and then they're tackling. So they have a certain game plan in which they want to employ. But for Kyle Shanahan, you know how to attack that. And even though they know Kyle Shanahan's concepts, he also knows their concepts. So being able to break their tendencies, and what do we know about Kyle? He sat in Tampa Bay's coaches meeting rooms and learned how to break defenses rules. And if you can break a defense's rules, that's when you're going to have plays So I think that's what he's going to try to do in this. Expect a few variances here and there on some of the route concepts, a couple of the different looks, and look for the 49ers to try to get a couple of these hole shots. One thing I could say about the Chiefs defense, there's going to be two or three opportunities in this game where you're going to have a chance to go for the hole shot play. And I'm hoping the 49ers are able to execute on a couple of those. If they are, it's going to change the dynamic of this game.
The hot route reads were perfect from Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl. The problem was Debo lost every single one of them. Like, I mean, he was putting the ball where it needed to be. You just needed your guy to win a 50-50. Now, they don't have L'Jarius Sneed, who was their best cover corner. Trent McDuffie's an absolute beast. But Watson and Shamari O'Connor, like, they're not L'Jarius Sneed. They're good. And there's going to be some tight windows. I do not expect Debo to beat a lot of man coverage. But Juwan Jennings can. And so can you get some of those hot reads to Jennings and not Debo? And can Debo win 150-50 this game? That's the difference in a game. So the 49ers are favored, guys. I keep going back to that. And if you don't like that, go bet. If you think it's stupid the 49ers are favored, go bet on the Chiefs. Go do it. I'm not doing it, but I'm not going to bet the 49ers cover the spread either. I'm going to bet the money line, but that's a whole nother thing. Shout out to my man, Ed. Fred Warner has to be on top of his game versus Mahomes. Fred Warner's never missed a game. Fred Warner played injured on a short week, and I thought he had two of just incredible plays. That screen tackle against Kenneth Walker on third down, where he stopped 2 yards short, fighting through an offensive lineman, was just uncanny. And there was another play in the same drive, in fact. He's mugged up in the A gap. They run it opposite C gap. He has a center and a guard on him, because he's lined up on the line of scrimmage like he's pressing to blitz, fights across the face, both of them, and makes the tackle for a 2 yard gain in the opposite C gap. Like, Fred Warner is still Fred Warner. And on one of the goal line plays, he almost got a pick, and Geno had to sell it. Incomplete pass. Our two guys ran into each other, by the way, on that play. Wide open wide receiver, but Fred Warner drifting over into the throwing lane. Like, Warner's on point. And so, yeah, that is a matchup that I do care a lot about, and I'm betting on 5-4. That's all I got to say. David, he says, off topic, whatever happened to Clayton producing the show? Clayton's the freaking man. Still consider him a great friend. He's just doing his things down in Arizona. He's getting all of his stuff going, and so it wasn't any like bad fallout or anything like that. He's just busy, and we love that dude. That's what it is. So nothing more of that. Here we go. McCory, more D winners, less Campbell. Agree or disagree?
I think in certain situations, yes. I think it was a couple weeks ago that I came to grips with the fact that I wanted D Winners out there on nickel situations over Devondre Campbell. I think D Winners is just more athletic, is a little bit better in coverage, but I think I still want Devondre Campbell out there playing, you know, that strong side linebacker spot when they're in their 4-3. And I know he's the Will linebacker, but that's where they've been putting him. He's still really good against the run, and they need Devondre Campbell right now, but at some point, D. Winters is going to be that guy consistently that can be that linebacker. But I don't think this is the time. This isn't the year. But if you told me that he's in on nickel situations, I'd be okay with that. I think one of the frustrating things about Devondre Campbell is there'll be a play like in the first drive where he gives up a big third down catch because he gets out of position against DK Metcalf coming across the middle. And then you look fast forward to the third quarter, and they put him out wide on Zach Charbonnet one-on-one, and he's running stride for stride in perfect coverage. And it's like, man, if we could just get that kind of play consistently, this linebacker room would be even better. So I like Campbell as far as a veteran against the run. I like D Winters a little bit more in coverage. We'll see if the 49ers pull a trigger. They kind of flirted with it a little bit last week, but then went back to Campbell down the stretch. So I don't think they're ready to pull the trigger yet.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. And I'll say this, Campbell had some really bad plays early. He settled down pretty good and played decent late. It's not consistent, still missed tackles, still not great in coverage, but he did have some good plays in coverage. There was one play, it was just like, you know, running back breaks out to the flats, and it was a scramble drill. He scraped over the top, had a tackle for like no yards after catch against Kenneth Walker. Like, it was incredible anticipation. Like, Campbell's bad, but it's not all bad. And so, walking away from the film this morning, I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's not near as bad as I thought it was. So take that for what you will. 50 Casual says the 49ers were favored in the Super Bowl. They were, and they went to overtime. Like, and so I apologize to everybody's ears. Okay, this is going to be bad. I can't believe I'm doing this. But here is a clip. Shout out to our guy, Eric Meiser, that runs our Instagram. Here is Kermit the Frog talking about why the 49ers and the Chiefs always come down to one play. So, sorry, guys. Here's Mahomes.
Whenever you have two great football teams that meet up in the Super Bowl and meet up in all these big games, there's going to be a history between that. And so, obviously, we've been able to win those games, but we know how good this football team is, and we have a ton of respect for them. And so it's not like one play couldn't have changed all these football games. And so we're going with that mindset of we just got to make the plays whenever they count. I think it's as big as a regular season game you could play in. But, I mean, they're a great football team, and I always – like going up against the best, and that's what we're going up against this week. And so we understand that it's going to be a big game. We understand that it's going to take our best to win. And so you just have to have extreme focus and know that it's going to be one play that kind of decides the entire game.
And that's what he's best at. Like, you can look at the stats for Mahomes this year. They're terrible. Just same amount of interceptions as touchdowns. Him and Geno Smith both have 6 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions. But it's more than that. His QBR is not good either. He doesn't have the weapons to throw to. However, when the game is on the line, he's going to deliver, or the refs are going to deliver for him. That's just the way that it goes. And that is what they are best at. The 49ers, they're a first-half team. Can you get a lead big enough in the first half that they can't climb out of? Couldn't do it against the Rams this year. You couldn't do it against the Cardinals this year, but you did do it against the Seahawks. So you're kind of trending in the right direction, but these games, man, it's a 1-point spread. 1 point. It's one play. And what happens in the Seahawks game if, you know, the 49ers don't block perfectly and Isaac Rindo, you know, take it, you know, 70 plus yards and we got a punt with a minute and a half left? That game could have went differently. You won by 12. This is the way the game is played. And I always go back to this. Why are we fans? All right. We talk about the catch. We go back to the 90s. We talk about why we hate all these teams. We talk about the Super Bowls we won, the ones we've lost. We talk about Harbaugh in the chat. It's because of these games. And yeah, it's stressful as hell. And it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I don't care if we have a 13-point lead in the first half. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter. Can you overcome and finally finish where you haven't in the past? I think that's key. So, Ant, do you think this is going to be another close game?
I mean, everything to me signals that it's going to be, for the mere fact that both defenses can usually hold the other team down. I mean, the Chiefs defense gives up 17 points per game. The likelihood of this being somewhat of a low-scoring game seems more likely. And so I think also when you look at the teams, both of these teams struggle in the red zone. The Chiefs are worse than the 49ers are when it comes to red zone effectiveness. So there's opportunity for lots of field goals. And I think that's where the 49ers have their advantage, is they've got to make sure the Chiefs are kicking field goals, because they are prone to do that. If they can have that sort of success, maybe they can build enough lead. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think this game gets out to 13 or 17. I think, you know, maybe a 10-point lead for the 49ers. And I know that's going to be scary for a lot of people.
We got to have 11. Yeah, got to go to 11, not 10. 10's bad.
Right. And that's the thing. It's going to be tough. You see 10 up there, you start having some bad feelings about it. So I don't know. I think it's going to come down to the wire, but I'm hoping. Now, this is me just being optimistic. I have seen avenues for the 49ers to be able to score points in this football game, but they're going to have to go out there and prove it. They're going to have to go win in the red zone when they have those opportunities. Field goals are not an option this week. You have to score touchdowns.
Hold them to field goals. They have one of the best field goal kickers. You got to score touchdowns. You got a replacement field goal kicker. And, you know, the 49ers, I appreciate how active you are in the chat today. Thank you. You know, I want to push back against this. He says Shanahan's blown leads in the Super Bowl as an OC head coach. It's a habit, not willing to break. Well, Kyle Shanahan walked off the field 3 times in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl with the lead. Three times. Defense, that you got to play together. You got to play together. Mahomes is going to do his thing, but you got to out Mahomes. That's what you got to do. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. It's that simple. And yeah, it's frustrating. And yeah, the refs aren't going to be on your side. Don't give a damn. You got to go out there and win. I think the 49ers are more than capable. And you are the absolute best. This has been a blast. It's a blast every Thursday. Now, for the rest of this week, y'all got to go follow the 49ers Cutback. We got Madden Simulation tomorrow. Then you've got your preview game on Saturday. After the game, you're going to watch the recap over on the 49ers Cutback. Download, listen, wherever you get your content, type in 49ers Cutback. And I want to say thank you. That's going to do it for us. You are the absolute best. Appreciate the chat. You are bumping today. Always bumping. But until next time, we're going to beat the Chiefs. We're going to beat the Chiefs. We're going to beat the Chiefs, Ant?
We're going to beat the Chiefs. It's happening. This is 94 Dallas Cowboys vibes. We're beating them in the regular season. Let's go.
I freaking love it. All right. We're winning. Y'all heard it here. Can't take it back. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.